Today is Memorial Day, another national holiday. I had Mother's Day and now I have Memorial Day. And what I love about these holidays is to find out what hue and what meaning it has to individuals. Because regardless of what the definition is, and the definition for today is a day on which those who died in active military service are remembered. That is the definition. You still have so many people who have so many fond or different memories. And I just love keying in and seeing where people are at on these national holidays. We do want to honor those who have served our country. But I'd like to take it a step further, if it's okay with you. Just like I took it a step further from Mother's Day. We knew that on Mother's Day, there's a lot of mothers out there who may never have given birth to a child. They may be caretaking as a neighbor, or it could be a grandma who's serving, or a grandpa who's serving, or it could even be a father who's doing father and mothers. So even on Memorial Day, we have had those who have died in active service. And yes, we have had those who have died in military service. We have also had those who have died in other services. And I know that Jonah wanted me to say thank you to the vets. He also mentioned last time, Sunday he was here, he said, wouldn't it be cool if we honored everyone who served? For example, like police officers. He said, I'd like to see them honored. He says, what about the firemen and the firewomen? What about conscientious objectors, those who go to the Peace Corps and die in service there? What about the medical personnel, the missionaries, the educators? You know, the list could continue on and on, but the emphasis is to honor those who have been on the front line of life, doing battle to battle and fight evil. The word says in Ephesians chapter 6, and this is our focus for today, that we are, quote, to serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he or she does, whether he or she is slave or free. Apostle Paul, in his writings to the church of Ephesus, makes it clear to the church there, as the word comes to us today, that we are in constant battle with the forces of darkness. You saw it in the hymn. You're going to see it in Scripture. You see that was a hymn in the Church of the Brethren hymnal. We fight the forces of darkness. Therefore, we should use every spiritual weapon to our disposal to battle this. The purpose of the letter when Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus was not to scare them. That was not his purpose. It was to remind them and to equip them. So today on Memorial Day, let us be reminded and let us also equip ourselves for battling evil. Now, Paul had spent over 3 years with this church in Ephesus, so he knew them very well. And I'd like us to look at the exhort that he says to them. In your pew Bibles, if you open up to the New Testament, I want you to go to page 195. But go to 195 in the back, not the front, or you'll be in the Old Testament while I'm in the New. So go to the New Testament, page 195. You will find Ephesians chapter 6. Now, when I do the reading, I am reading from my favorite Bible, which is New International. It's my life application Bible. What you are reading from is the New Revised Standard Version. So it will differ just a little, but it's so minor that I think it's worthy of having you follow along. While some of you are still looking again, page 195, when I was about Lucas's age, someone taught me a trick in the Bible for remembering how to find Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and maybe you've heard it as well. But you take the first letter of each, and you look for God's Electric Power Company. And that's the way they are in order. God's electric power company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Very easy to remember it that way. Okay, are you with me now? We're looking at verses 10 through 18. Now, we're not going to read it all at once. We're going to take it in segments. First part says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's a powerful, powerful message. And why the warlike imagery? Why do we find this? Well, consider Paul's day and consider the Roman army. They even had a strong presence in the streets. If you go over to Egypt, you will see the same thing. Very strong military presence. And if you think of the Roman attire, the headdresses made them appear taller than what they were. The soldiers were equipped with not only a sword, but also with a knife. Their helmets hid their face for the most part. They had bright, shining armor. So they appeared to the common person to be impersonal, robotic, and extremely dangerous. Now, I believe that Paul was gathering his believers and that he was saying, yes, the Roman forces are fearsome indeed. However, we as Christians also are equipped with armor, as Casey was pointing out. We have God's armor. Therefore, we should not fear. We are not left defenseless. We are not left as helpless victims against the Roman Empire. That's what he was telling his people. Even though he knew that many of them would lose their lives for the sake of Christ. And that is true. We may lose our lives for the sake of Christ, but we do not lose. We are never separated from the love of God. So we need to put on that full armor. Now, I recognize that when we put on this armor of God, that the person sitting next to us won't recognize. They are not going to see this headdress. They're not going to see this helmet covering our face. They're not going to see the bright, shiny armor. They're not going to see the sword, and they're not going to see the knife in our back pocket. But Satan will see it. And when you wear the full armor of God, the forces of darkness see it. Even at the name of Jesus Christ, the demons will flee. So don't ever think you're left defenseless.
Yet how do we know that there truly is a dark world? You know, sitting in the office this last Friday, getting a call from Deb Shaw, hearing that there's a school shooting where her granddaughter was at, certainly lets us know that there is a dark world, and with all the gun shootings that we've had in the schools this past year, there is a world of evil that is working against us. And I know for Cheryl and I, we have felt that many times in the school systems that we have been in, that you just felt like you're being oppressed. The answer to that, though, is a sermon in itself. But let's refer to the scripture and allow it to speak to each of us. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Paul says, I am convinced that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul's statement about the existence of demons is not enough. We can do an entire trip from Genesis, starting with the Garden of Eden, going through with Jesus casting out demons, as recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, even into Acts chapter 8, and here in Ephesians, that all explain who the demons are, what they do, what their purpose is, their destructive intent, but also their ultimate fate. Evil, as we know, has not been put to rest. We see it all the time on the news and the newspapers. Unfortunately, we live surrounded by evil forces. The Apostle Paul, however, sends encouragement to us, as he did to the Ephesians. There are actions that we can and will take. Let's just listen to Paul's words. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when, not if, but when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to continue to stand your ground. We will stand victorious against evil, not be submissive and sniveling. You know, I miss the hymn that we used to sing in the United Brethren Church, and Cheryl and I were United Brethren for several years. It's entitled, Victory in Jesus. How many know it? Okay.
Well, we're going to sing it. So you have a half piece of paper with you. I think we're just going to sing the first two verses, Paul. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to sing just the first two verses. Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.
Victory!
just love that imagery. It's so unexpected. It's opposite of what we think. We think we rise to victory. And what are the words here? He plunged me to victory. Sometimes our greatest descents are God's greatest victories. So we need to remember that God's power is always there, always there. Now some say, well, we don't sing it anymore, and I don't think I heard this from anyone here, but they thought it was a military song. But I think if you look at the words, I don't see it says anything for or against the military. What I read in this song is Paul's exhortations in Romans 8 that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And that gets me excited.
What is this full armor of God all about anyway? Well, let's look at the pieces. We'll take a look at Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth, buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Well, the first thing we begin then with is the belt. Now, the belt, I know, holds up my pants, and I have to use it, because as my waist keeps getting bigger, I have to have something to tie it around with. So you got to keep that belt on.
Please.
Thank you.
You did it better than I would have.
Good job. Good job. It's the belt of truth. Truth is the glue. We're not talking Gorilla Glue. We're just talking about God's glue that keeps all this to come to fruition, because Christ stated, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, let's pause for a moment for a Hebrew lesson. Now, Dave over here is pretty good with Hebrew. Much more so than probably Cheryl and I. But the Hebrew word for truth is emet, which contains the first, middle, and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In essence, truth is in all. And since truth is all-encompassing, we are to live in this essence. We are exhorted to live in the spirit of truth. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows that come from the evil ones. Flaming arrows from the evil one. You know, we have no doubt that the arrows that Satan shoots at us are to harm us. They are meant to destroy us, and especially those are made of lesser substance than stone or rock. You know, that is why Christ said of Peter in Matthew 16, verse 16, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome. Furthermore, the shield of faith for Romans of that day, which would have been Paul's reference, was a full body shield. A shield that covered the entire body, one that when other warriors were against one another, it was like a protective wall. It was very hard to get through the Romans. Verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Well, as we know, we have to put on pieces. As Casey would say, you got to have that belt for your pants, and there are other things there too. Thus, as we put on the helmet of salvation, we receive the salvation for ourselves. And in receiving it through our minds, through the knowledge and the fact that Christ died for our sins, We are secure in the faith. Mm-hmm. Well, many of you have studied the armor of God, so you recognize that in this verse that the sword is the only offensive weapon that we are given. The word of God is our offense. We see Jesus demonstrating this in the desert as he entered his temptation against Satan. Now, Jesus never said to Satan, "Well, you know, I don't really think I agree with you there, Satan." Or, "Hey, let me think about that for a while. Let me get back to you on the things that you've said." With each temptation, Jesus fought Satan by using the word of God.
Let's now look at verse 18. If you have your Bibles open, continue to follow along in Ephesians 6. We're now in verse 18. It states, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints." Now, we have done a lot with prayer, so you may or may not have been with us during those times. And we talked about how you can do quick, brief prayers as you go along. Or another way you can do it is to surround your life around prayer. In essence, just simply talking to God in situations as you're going along. And Marty, I so loved your prayers. You just talk to God. And that's a sense of surrounding your life around prayer, just talking to him. Verses 19 through 20 states, "Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." I love Apostle Paul. Here he is, chained and in prison. And who does he think of first? Others. He's encouraging the other believers not to give up on the faith. And yet, he's not afraid to ask for help himself. He isn't afraid to say, "Please pray for me." And folks, we need to be open to do that with one another when we need that strength. Apostle Paul does it here. Now, one thing I love about Paul is, as you can tell just by his writings, he knows that words matter. He knows that prayer matters. He knows that we battle daily, daily, daily. And he knows that our words and our prayers can intercede in the spiritual world on behalf of others. And so he says, use the word of God and pray. We must be intent upon arming ourselves against the forces of evil. Satan's intent is to destroy the church. It is Satan's intent to destroy the body of believers. It is Satan's intent to separate and to divide us. That is his intent. To defend ourselves, we must put on this entire armor of God and depend on God's strength. If we do not, the fruit of our spirit will not be sweet. Because if we don't put on the whole armor, we're going to leave an opening somewhere, and it's very likely we will get socked, and then we will become embittered. So to keep our spirits sweet, in order to keep our mouths not to wage words of war or unkindness, we must move and ask ourselves, what part of the armor am I missing? Am I missing anything today? Because as we think, so as we speak. As we speak, so we do. And Satan knows that. So the first place we're going to try to get tripped is in our thinking. And Joyce Meyer calls that stinking thinking, okay? We've got to watch our stinking thinking, all right? If we ever find ourselves slipping into that, we need to check the armor of God and see what piece is missing. So let our prayer always be that we be reminded. And I thought, what a good way here on Memorial Day, when we're being reminded of those who have fallen in service for us, that we remind ourselves also that we are on the front line. We are on the front line doing battle through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, not only for ourselves, but also for those around us. In the second chapters of 2 Corinthians, Apostle Paul reminds us that we are not to allow Satan to get the better of us, that we are not to be ignorant of Satan's wiles and Satan's intentions. So the next time you feel defeated, the next time you feel nervous or uncertain, I need you to get sassy, okay? I need you to talk back to Satan, just like Christ did. Use that scripture, find out what am I missing, and call it back. Say scripture back to him. For example, the scriptures tell us multiple times to not fear. So when we start to worry, when we start to get afraid of something, all we have to do is speak that back and say, Satan, you are not going to win this. It states, God's word says, do not fear, so I will not. I will not. Tell Satan that he lost the battle years ago. He's already lost. We already know what the end is going to be. So we don't need to be afraid of Satan. He's already lost. He lost at the time of the cross and the resurrection. His fate was sealed. And we can live in that victory. The battle, my friend, it belongs to the Lord. We simply battle through his blood, through his grace, through his love, and through his mercy. We battle, so we need the armor. It is the armor, and let's be reminded what it is. It is the armor of truth, of righteousness, readiness, the gospel of peace, of faith, salvation, and prayer. And always we are to remain alert. If we do these things, my friends, the victory is ours.